Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is June 26, 2014, and we are brought to you by and sponsored by Fiorello Barbell Company. We're a little place up in upstate New York where we don't try, we succeed. And today I am very happy and very honored. We got a great guest with us, Coach Rob Regish. I don't know if you've ever heard Rob, but Rob is on Superhuman Radio every Tuesday from 12 to 1, and he's just an all-around great guy. So I want to introduce Rob. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Eric. You know, this is a great honor for me. I'm usually on Superhuman Radio, as you said, on Tuesdays, the Blueprint Power Hour, but looking to expand my audience and hopefully help some listeners here get to Gainesville, as I like to say.
Absolutely. Rob, why don't you just tell the audience just a little bit about yourself and, you know, where you've come from, what you've been into, and where you are presently?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, I've got 30 years almost in this game. And when I say in this game, I competed in powerlifting for almost 20 years. And eventually, at the age of 38, I realized that, you know, it was over for me. There were no pro contracts in my future. However, I also realized that there might be for someone that's 19 or 20. Before I hurt my back, I wanted to pass along some things in the hopes that people didn't make the same mistakes that I made, because not only did I, you know, waste a lot of money, but I wasted time, you know, time going down the wrong road in this game. And you know, when I got into it, there was no internet. The magazines were a joke, as you know. You were real lucky. I was real lucky to meet a guy, Eddie Azzaro, which I'll get into later, who kind of took me under his wing. The issue being this, today, these guys have the opposite problem. With the internet and the proliferation of information out there, there's just as much bad info, if not more, than good info. And even if it is, even if you can pare it down to good info, where do you start? You know, do you start with Bill Starr's classic 5x5, great routine? You know, do you start with Charles Staley's escalating density training? Do you start with loading patterns from Germany, Russia, and elsewhere? And if so, how do you hook all those together to make progress ongoing? So that's what I set out to do. That ultimately became the blueprint. My series of ebooks, and it's just kind of exploded from there.
Yeah, I mean, when, you know, I didn't obviously know of you or anything, but, you know, I do listen to Superhuman Radio on occasion. I've been a guest on it with Carl, and I listen to you, and, you know, I've been in the game like you for decades. And, you know, when I think about, you know, and that's one of the things, this is going to be the main theme of this show today, is we're going to talk about training and how it's changed. And, you know, sometimes, like the old saying is, you know, more doesn't make something better. So, you know, I, like you, started very simple. I mean, you know, my uncle used to build furniture. I had a wooden bench and sand weights, okay? And, you know, you don't know in the beginning how far you want to go with this stuff, and it escalated from there to Ed Jubenville Equipment, who was a very famous arm wrestler, and he used to be able to pose and hold muscle shots. Like, I mean, the guy could do anything. So we, you know, this is how dedicated we were getting. I mean, we grabbed a U-Haul and drove over to Holyoke, Massachusetts, because I live in Albany, New York, and that's where we're located, and loaded a truck up and came home with it. And my father almost had a heart attack. You know, I mean, here we are carrying everything from a lat machine, the homemade squat racks, et cetera, et cetera. And then after about an hour, he got over it. And, you know, he was an athlete. He understood. But, I mean, to see us bringing this stuff in, it was like, what are these guys doing? And, you know, how did they do this? So, and then obviously things just, with me, and probably with you the same way, Rob, it's I just wanted to keep going and going and going. I, you know, a lot of my friends I trained with, they dropped off for one reason or another, whether it was marriage or they got hurt or they just don't want to do it anymore. You know, I've escalated to the point now where, you know, I'm in the probably the most dangerous stuff with the stones and everything else. And I've been to Iceland now twice. I went in 08 with a, you know, a full group right down to Steffi Pedersen, who's world strong, who, you know, was competing world's strongest man a number of times. And, you know, we did the stone challenge and I got to one point and I pulled the 390 pound stone and I hear like a paper tear and I tore my bicep. So I was out of that. And, you know, I came back from that. I worked with a guy, Steve Helmicki. He's Primordial Performance out in Buffalo. And we've done some stuff together with stones and things of that nature. And I'm here, you know, getting ready to go again, trying to launch a business here. Really, really got my niche. You know, I've wanted to do this forever. So that's why you and I are sitting here today. I heard you on Carl's show, and I definitely admired what you did. And you're out there trying to help people. And with the nature of what we're talking about today, people need some help out there. I mean, look, I've been in doing this stuff like you for decades. I don't know everything, and I never will. But I'll tell you what, I've learned stuff from you. You would think, oh, a guy that's been – well, if you're going to close your mind off to everything, you're not going to ever get any better. And my whole thing is, like I said yesterday in one of my articles, how would you like to be John Grimmick in his 70s? He was still squatting 350 pounds. That's what I'm looking at down the road. You know, if I go down, I'd like to go right down on the platform. So this is how I discovered you, and like I said, I'm very honored and happy to have you on here.
Thanks, man. It really is an honor. And you know, once we're done with our intros, this really is about the listeners, because today I get my greatest satisfaction and make my living out of helping people, and gratefully. You know, that's spread around the world, you know, whether being on SHR, you know, I hear from people everywhere from Connecticut to Australia. So, you know, hopefully we'll be able to drop some information and insight here that gets people to where they want to be.
Yeah, and I want to get them very excited about this, too, because one thing I've seen, you know, obviously, you know, the muscle rags are just that. There's nothing in there. They're all steroid guys. And that's your choice what you want to take. But to the guy that, you know, I hate even using the word hard gainer, but I'm sure maybe you remember that magazine years ago. That was a great magazine. I mean, Stewart wrote for Perry Rader when Iron Man was really Iron Man. There's a sector out there that really needs a lot of guidance. And I'm not saying you and I know everything, and we'd be the first to admit that, but, you know, there's nothing like real-world experience. You know, I've been alone out there for a long time, and like I stated before, how many guys, are, you know, there's girls doing it too, but how many people are going to go out and try to lift these stones out there? And, you know, we've developed the steel stones where we load with shot to get ready for Iceland. I mean, these are demanding movements that – they hurt you. I mean, you know, I've had massive cuts, scars on my forearms, but you know, that's all part of the warrior mentality. So, for the guys and gals that are starting out, you lend a reference to things that it could take them 20 years if they could even stay in the game to find out. So, your information and your knowledge is so valuable to the people out there, and that's why I'm looking so forward to some shows down the road. I think we can really help an audience.
Yeah, you know, completely agree. And even though, you know, I sell information, I am pretty generous in what I give away. So I'm hoping that, you know, I can bring that to your listenership here. And if it generates interest in my products and services or yours, great. If it doesn't, that's great too. But, you know, if you ask the listeners of the Blueprint Power Hour, they walk away with an incredible amount of free information. And my goal, frankly, is that here.
Yeah. And you know, something, I think it's always better to give a little more than anybody else. And see, Rob, you're authentic, all right? You can listen to you and know that you're not throwing crap at people. And I think it's very important. I mean, I think of myself when I started out. I had some really good people around me, too. I had a lot of older guys that here the YMCA was pretty big back in the heyday. But I was very lucky. You know, I had a guy, Craig Morrison. He had competed against Frank Zane back in the 60s. But he was more of the, you know, the older style I talked about yesterday, the Olympic weightlifter that would end up going out maybe an hour later and he'd be in a physique contest. But you look at these guys and they're just built. I mean, deep, thick, cabled muscle. And this is the way I've always trained. And I, you know, I've had to go out, obviously, and find out for myself. I mean, with the dead stop stuff, all that, no one's teaching that stuff. Right. That stuff is like, that's taboo stuff. And not only that, people are afraid of that because, let's face it, that stuff can shear you in too. So the idea of having a mentor, whether they're talking to you or I, you know, we're coaching them over the internet, or, you know, they're here with us, you can never put a price tag on valuable. And I've read many things that you've put out, and in my opinion, you overcompensate too. And I think that's a good thing, because I truly believe authenticity, people can smell that, and they're going to keep coming to you. And like you and I have talked in the past, where you've been established a little longer than me, and I'm kind of like an infant here, but I plan on this company of mine, and hopefully with yours, as we do some things and maybe some ventures down the road, I hope we explode. I want to be so busy that I'd have to put a couple people on.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I mean? And now that I'm going to be working with the gentleman that you work with your website, you know, I'm just going to say this and then we're going to get right into the scope of the show. We are going to be launching a weight loss DVD MP4, and this is what we're going to start on tomorrow afternoon, get everything down, how we're going to do it. And, you know, the client I had, he's a good friend too. You know, Dennis, I knocked a ton of weight off him. Let's put it this way. We went from 267 down to 224 when 225 was our goal, and right now he's holding at 222. And to finish this off, I've told everybody we're going to have them up to 229 pounds of muscle by Christmas Day. We're going to do it mainly through stones and some hill work. It doesn't sound like, you know, 5-6 pounds, you know, is a lot, but it is when you want to put it on correctly. So that's his goal for the end of the year. So let's get right into what we had talked about with training, how it's changed. So why don't you tell me, what do you see, let's just say in the last 20 years, or even the last 5 years, what do you see that's changed besides the internet, Rob?
Well, you know, when I got into this originally, this was back in the mid-80s, it was all about getting as big as possible and as fast as possible. And, you know, damn the cuts. It was all about, you know, how big your arms were. How much weight you know, was going on the scale every week, hopefully, if not month. So you need only look at, you know, what was pitched back then. It was all about weight gainers. Today, after I wrote the blueprint, I started to hear from guys that wanted it all, and all as defined by they wanted more muscle. They didn't necessarily want cartoon muscle, but they also wanted extremely low levels of body fat. They wanted abs.
Yeah.
So, you know, needless to say, in the trainee that isn't using drugs and is genetically average, that's an extremely tall order. So my challenge was, after writing the Blueprint 2.0, which was all about size and strength, I wrote the Blueprint 3.0, Roadmap to Recomp, which simultaneously strips body fat and builds an equal or greater amount of muscle tissue, and that is no understatement. It's been out there for years now. It works, and it works exceptionally well. To trump even that, I wrote the Blueprint Meteoric, which does it and does it even faster. And the only way that I found that you can do that is adhering to a little bit stricter training and dietary template and rotating through the three different energy systems that fuel muscle, that being ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and phosphocreatine, the lactic acid tolerance training pathway, and the VO2 max pathway. You know, those are the three that fuel any amount of muscular activity. And if you're not training in all three on a fairly frequent basis, you know, one or two of those are going to suffer. So when you go back to them, not only are you missing out on the benefits, the transitory benefits and the conditioning, but it's going to be a rude awakening. It's like, you know what it's like. It's like jumping into a vat of ice water. So I developed solutions for my guys. And boiled it down to stuff that I knew worked for 90% of the different soma types out there, that being body types, ectomorphs, endomorphs, and in the middle, mesomorphs.
Mesomorphs, yep.
You know, and if there's one message, I guess, that I want to get across, 90, 95% of this goes back to your training and diet, and that's not a sexy message, but it's the truth, and we're here to give the truth.
Well, yeah, and you know something too is this. You know, you see a lot of ads and you see all this back and forth. That's what I was saying about with the weight loss DVD. It's you see a lot of glamour. I mean, you're looking at people that are professional models usually, and some have made it on their own bones. I'm not going to say that either. But to the you know, in the same way with the training, you know, it's not sexy what you're saying. Well, it's the same way with the weight loss, too, because, see, I lump everything together. You know, I'm not one of these guys that's going to cookie cut, okay, to get big arms, you're going to curl. Well, you know, if you're pressing 300 pounds over your head, I will defy anybody to say you're not going to have a big arm, all right? Do I think you should do direct stuff? I do, and I'll tell you why. This is one thing that I didn't really get in an argument, but it got a little heated with another lifter one time. That they told me that doing any type of bicep work is a waste of time. Well, I'll tell you something. I think – now, I don't know this for sure because I don't have a crystal ball. But I always have done bicep work. But in the years leading up to Iceland, I wasn't doing as frequent. Maybe if I'd done a little more bicep work, maybe I wouldn't have tore that bicep. I don't know. You know, I think about that at times, but I can't – you know, life isn't walking backwards. So I'm healthy now, and that's okay. But – it's the same thing. If you're looking at models and you're looking at people that have been training for years, it can become, for a lot of people, very intimidating. And when a guy like you comes out and says, okay, it's basically going to be diet and training, they're like, huh? And it's the same way with the weight loss. How many people can do the amount of volume these people are doing? I mean, most of these people are working all day. They got families. They've got responsibilities. And usually, you know, by the end of the day, if you're not in good shape, you just want to sit in a chair and put your feet up and you're out. So I totally agree with you that it's not sexy sounding. But when you get a guy like of your caliber and your knowledge and the material you put out, if you give it a chance, you know, that's the thing I try to tell everybody. You got to change your inners to change your outers. And they look at you like, huh? But when you sit down and think about that, it's very valuable, those words, because, you know, you take your blueprints or whatever you want to do to take a client or a customer of yours and say, okay, we got to train a certain way, we got to recover, and you've got to eat a certain way. But you know something? You can also fall off the wagon maybe once in a while and have a pizza or whatever. This is what I try to do with my clients. So I feel if I put the thumb on them, they're not going to get anywhere. So I totally agree with you on, you know, on the not sexy thing. But you've got results. I've got results. So I'm with you 100% on that.
Yeah, you know, I will say this, and I'll drop this tip. A lot of us are trying to make a big or macro change to our physiology by taking micronutrients, you know, supplements.
Yeah.
The truth is, if you want to make a macro change to your physique or performance, you need to make a macro change to your, let's say, your training or your diet. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some supplements out there that work exceptionally well, but I'll give you one example. in terms of training, your changing your training. A lot of guys are experimenting with one approach or the other, meaning, let's say, a powerlifting loading pattern to boost their max strength, or something hypertrophy-oriented like Charles Staley's escalating density training. Mm-hmm. What I have learned through God knows how many years is that it takes both of those, and it takes a savvy way of coupling them together and to be able to repeat those gains over time, which is where, you know, things snowball and the muscle really starts piling on. Because as you and I know, everything works for as long as it takes your body to adapt to it.
Correct.
And in highly trained athletes, which is to say those that have been training for years, it takes about 6 workouts for your body to adapt to any given stimulus. And I'll also say this, of all of the variables in weight training, it is the reps that your body will adapt to the quickest. So, you know, if you're out there, you know, trying to do it yourself, do try to combine those two training modalities and focus on the reps. What I've done is I've taken different loading patterns from around the world, Germany, Russia, the United States, and elsewhere, and arrange them in such a fashion that they can be repeated, and also done that with escalating density training and different movements for guys that might have shoulder injuries or, you know, whatnot, that such that they don't get burned out.
Well, yeah. You know, this is what I wanted to ask you too, Rob. You know, I've always been obviously, I love pulling and I love squatting. If I had to pick, and I love overhead, I mean, what's not to like about press, pull, and squat? But I got to tell you, I'm really a squat guy out of the three, and I love all three. If I came to you, you know, and I said to you, well, let's just go on the basis of one movement, and you know, I could see you visibly, we met, we shook hands and we talked, and I said, Rob, I want to hire you because right now I'm at, let's say I'm about 6 foot and I'm playing high school football, and I'm maybe about 160, but I wanted to, you know, I want to play maybe between 185 and 200. And I said, I love the squat. What would you do with an athlete like me? You know, relatively good shape, you know, can move pretty good and got a really good attitude, very hungry. How would you approach a kid like me?
You know, I think the biggest thing would be to develop a, a flexible shell of different exercises and ways to make progress. Because, as I was saying before, the body adapts to any given stimulus over time. And for a guy that is exceedingly hungry and has a lot of motivation, they are very prone to what I call program hopping. And now I'm sure you've seen this.
Absolutely.
You know, these guys will find an approach that works and then it stops working. And one of two things happens. They either continue to hammer away with it, like high-intensity training, one set to absolute muscular failure, or they get frustrated and switch to something new. And that something new may or may not deliver the goods. And then it just becomes a game of, you know, sooner or later they're going to go down the wrong road, and they start losing time, money, and of those two, they can get their money back sometimes, but they will never get the time wasted back, and God forbid they go down with an injury.
You're right, because, you know, I always say, and you've probably said it and heard it, when that workout's over, you can never get it back. And, you know, I was thinking last night, here I am out in the pouring rain, you know, and look it, like you, I've been training for a long time. I still have that same hunger. I mean, I've got very expensive equipment. There I am putting it outside because I have to have room because of the size of the facility I'm in and covered. And, you know, I don't want to put that out. But you know something? There are times when you have to make a stand with anything in your life. And it's like I'm not going to give in to rain tonight. I'm going to go out. You know, I was soaked doing stuff outside, little things here and in between. And it just speaks volumes to what you are and what you do. But you know what I see with a lot of the high school stuff is I do know coaches in high school football. You know, I don't know what your feeling is on this, and obviously they've got to be very careful because we live in such a litigious society now. What's your feeling, too? I mean, obviously we hate to see athletes going from one thing to another, but I'm not always so sure that a lot of these coaches, the way they're mixing things, and they run these kids very hard, and we're not even talking about game day and stuff. And I think a lot of people feel because you're 16, 17, 18 years old, you know, they can beat the snot out of you and nothing's going to happen. But that's very far from there. But what's your feeling like with them now mixing the strong man in with football or any other athletic endeavors? And do you think, is it a pro or a con, or is it how we join the weight training and that and the football? If you were coaching a high school football team right now, would you be pro to that, or would you go a whole different direction?
It can be a positive, but more often than not, the way they go about it, it's a negative. So let me explain. Typically, the development of max strength work or strongman type stuff is predicated on very heavy weights in the 1 to 3 rep range. That in turn is very, very demanding on the central nervous system. And the central nervous system is very easy to burn out. And if you don't believe this, try working in the 1 to 3 rep range for more than 3 weeks. You know, you're going to find that you burn out very, very quickly. So it takes a methodical approach. And for my athletes, especially the ones that don't want to take a one rep max because they're concerned with injuries, I don't have them work in the 1 to 3 rep range any more than once every, let's call it 3 weeks. Now, I don't take them very far from that. Like, for example, I have them work in the 7, 5, and then 3 rep range for a week so that we keep touch with the central nervous system, which is important. Because once you start going over 7 reps, in my opinion, in an exercise, you lose touch with that central nervous system. And when the stimulus isn't there, when the heavy weights are no longer there, there's no reason for the muscle to stick around.
Yep.
So that would be my answer. It's a great thing to go there, but people stay too long and they get greedy.
Without a doubt. And then, like you said, then we get injury. And, you know, at 16, 17 years old, you don't want to be having an injury that's going to end your training. You know, back in the day, there was a lot of semi-pro football, and I'd go and watch some of the games, and they'd always come over and, you know, try to recruit you to play. And, you know, I think I learned early on what was going to be more important for you. See, I'm not only a student of lifting. Lifting is very much a part of my life. It's my DNA. And to some people that might sound like, are you kidding me? And it's no, because you have to be dedicated to something in your life no matter what it is. And my dedication has been the physical culture, getting better, getting stronger, helping as many people as I can. And now look, I've grown into a business what I want to do. I love this stuff, and as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to do it till I can't do it. My brother was over here, and as you know, my brother Jimmy had muscular dystrophy and died as a very young child. And when you see your brother in a wheelchair, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with him mentally, and thank God for my parents, because, you know, I can't even imagine the pressure they were under all the time. And he lived in a beautiful family. He had, you know, 3 other brothers and a sister. And I think as a kid, it had to happen to all of us, whether you're conscious of this or not. It had a big effect on us, and every one of us is physical right down to where my sister's a black belt. They may not see it that way, but I always did. And I used to sit there, and, you know, we'd be out and we'd bring Jimmy everywhere with us, you know, whether we're playing baseball, football, you name it. You know, we all played Little League, Babe Ruth. You know, my mom would have him down at all the games, everything. And he, you know, he was matriculated and right through to like his sophomore year in high school when he passed away. But I used to stand there, Rob, and we'd be playing ball, and he'd be sitting in the chair watching and yelling and stuff. And I would say to myself, how in God's name does he sit there and he can be so happy about things? And he can't do anything. I mean, he's a living, breathing human being. He's involved in everything. There's nothing with him mentally. He's just like any other kid. But can you imagine how hard that had to have been for him to sit there and just watch, be a spectator? And I think what it did to me, more, you know, I've never really gotten in this with everybody to a point in my family, but it had a profound effect on me. And I don't take anything for granted. As you know, a few weeks ago, I hit the pavement pretty hard. And, I mean, I was like, my knee, you know, it was killing me. And it feels pretty good as of today, so I know it's healing. But little things like that throw you. Can you imagine sitting there and just watching everybody? I mean, I can't for the life of me. So I guess when I'm getting back, I got off the rail a little bit. But this, lifting... I don't know how you feel about this, but, you know, we still always say, you know, the iron pills, you got iron in your blood. I totally believe that. I don't care how big you are in the lifting. I think it's something like a DNA pattern with us guys because, you know, I'd rather go down than not do this anymore. So what do you think?
Yeah, you know, it comes from inside. I think for a lot of guys – let's say you and me that train alone are darn close to it. It comes from inside. And, that can't be bought at the GNC. That cannot be, you know, it doesn't come in a bottle of pills. It's something that comes from within. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, there are people that can be motivated, and there's nothing wrong with that. That need some guidance and a coach and maybe somebody to train with or somebody to hold them accountable. And I have a lot of guys like that. And, you know, for my model, which is periodic check-ins and, you know, here's the guidance based on everything that I know about you, that works and it works well. You know, I'll give you an example. I'll do a phone consult with the guy and I have a short list of questions such as, you know, what's your age? What's your biological age? What's your training age? How many years have you been training? What's your soma type? What's your goal? And then we go down the list as to what's worked, what hasn't worked in terms of training and diet over the years, recently, et cetera, et cetera. And from that, I can usually extract what this individual needs. And I put together, there's no need to take notes. I'll email them post-call as to a synopsis of our conversation, my recommendations, and invariably, you know, I save these guys a ton of money because they're shotgunning supplements, they're wasting time, or they're injured.
You're right.
You know, that's just how it works.
Well, and the thing, too, is, you know, what's happened, you know, as we're talking 20 years ago, fast forward to today, I mean, this is what I think it's really a supplement world. I think people have gotten away from the hard work and the experimentation and relied on powders, pills, and if you want to do the illegal stuff, fine. Now, you know, I'm going to give you a big plug anyways, and you talk about it a lot on Carl's show, but, you know, the two products you created, the Synthogen and Tranquilogen, I started taking that, I think we had talked about it maybe 3 months ago. I'm starting to see some comebacks a lot quicker. You know, obviously, you know, the situation I'm in right now with the launch and everything, and I would like to go on, especially the Synthogen, the way we had discussed, where even on non-training days, I could really up the dosage. You know, as long as we're talking about supplements, and you know, this is my feeling, like I just conveyed to you. I think we rely on too much of that stuff. Now, do you need protein powder? Yeah, I mean, you know me, I'm a big guy with that. I mean, I'm happy as hell today. Today, my 25 pounds of protein powder is coming from UPS, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to mix it up with cream and raw milk, and you know, and I'm going to put probably 2 or 3 cups I'm going to be running today, which I know for a lot of people say, well, that's overkill. Well, I'm kind of a guy that, you know, I'm a big body to begin with, and I'm like an engine. Obviously, some days I don't eat or drink protein powder as much as I do. Some other days, and you know this with training, some days you could eat the walls. So as long as we're on supplementation, why don't you just tell us, you know, I really want you to get this out with the Synthogen and Tranquilogen, because I, you know, this stuff is really good stuff. And, you know, like you said, maybe we could help people save a little money, and at the same time, it would help you out. So let's give the FBC Motivation Muscle people some hit with this. Lay it out for us.
All right, I appreciate it. Now, you'll notice up to this point, I haven't really mentioned my stuff, but I will say this. If you are going to invest in a supplement, be that mine or another company's, do take one either intra-workout or post-workout. And the reason being – sorry, man, my texts are coming.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
My texts coming in from my guys. the reason being is this. Drugs act like drugs, not supplements. However, there is one period of time – when supplements can act like drugs, and that is during the workout. Now, why is this? It's because we know from studies blood flow is elevated no less than 400%. We also know that the enzyme, once the muscle has been worked, right, under load, the enzyme glycogen synthase is jumping, and there is a window during the workout and for up to 2 hours following it that getting specific amino acids, and in particular, I'm talking about free-form essential amino acids, is, you know, those windows are wide open. Now, a lot of people take whey, and that's a mistake. Let me tell you why. Whey is, right, considered a fast protein, but it's not fast enough. Like any other intact protein, the amino acids take time to be liberated from the string of protein. And you can think of that string as a ladder, and each rung on the ladder is an individual amino acid. So for my very first product, what did I do on Synthogen? We built it such that the backbone of the formula is essential amino acids. And now, those aren't sexy, but damn, do they work. And you will know this pretty much from the very first workout. So, you know, if you're thinking of investing in any one supplement, make it something during the workout or afterwards. And I will caution you this. You're going to want to start with essential amino acids. If you've got some laying around, check the label, because chances are 90% of the EAA products that I've seen on the market don't contain one of the essential amino acids. Usually, that's L-tryptophan. And the reason for that, I found out, is this. You might recall tryptophan was removed from the market several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
There was a contaminated batch that came in from Japan. Well, a lot of the big box companies stopped stocking tryptophan. So they don't like the special order stuff. It's expensive. It's time consuming. So when I went to formulate Synthogen, a lot of them said, well, you know, just use 5-hydroxy-L-tryptophan. They won't know the difference. Or just use tyrosine. It starts with a T2. They're not going to know the difference. And I was like, you know what? I will. And these guys will too over time, because they won't get the results. None of those 5-HTP nor tyrosine or any of the others that they used, I've seen arginine, can be incorporated as new muscle tissue. And protein synthesis will grind to a halt. So don't use whey. Do use an essential amino acid product with all 9 essential aminos, and we can build from there. Now, the Synthogen label, you know, you'll note contains, 7 other, seven other ingredients or substrates that put back, and we'll get into a conversation later. But those are the important points to know. Look for something at your workout. Start with the essential aminos. Make sure that all nine are included.
Well, and another thing, you know what I want you to do before maybe you tackle a little bit with Tranquilogen is, why don't you tell our audience out there where they can get a hold of this product? I know they can go out to your website, so why don't you give us that, and if there's anywhere else that you want to hit upon for it, Rob.
Yeah, Synthogen and Tranquilogen are both available in the United States at MuscleMass.com. That's not my company. It's just I did the formula work on it. They do the rest. In the UK and in Europe, it's available at PredatorNutrition.com. And you can Google any review you'd like on the web. I think you'll find, I know you'll find that the feedback is just glowing.
Yeah, down the road as we get into more and more things, I'd like to do a show if you would like to really go through these two products. I know briefly you went through the Synthogen, but, you know, I think that it's a good subject to talk about because, you know, one thing I really want to get into here is recovery. And I know how much these products lean to recovery. And, you know, that's another thing I've been fighting with through the years. Once again, we're talking supplements here. Cortisol is always a big thing, you know, but you do need cortisol too. So, you know, we're constantly like yin and yanging everything. And I really would like to, you know, to really get into the nuts and bolts of this stuff with you because I like people to experiment. I don't ever not enjoy what I've done with learning and, you know, being alone, you have to devise a lot of ways to train, especially if you're going to train dangerously heavy. And let's face it, we're in this game to not only get stronger and bigger and faster, or however you want to classify it, but to me, and I've heard you say this before, I mean, if you're not recovering, it doesn't matter. I mean, so what if I squatted 700 pounds off the pins the other night? Well, if I'm not ready in, say, 2 or 3 days to pull or press like what I want to do, it's all for naught.
Yeah, you know, it's worth remembering this. Muscle growth is always a three-step formula, and it's a fundamental law. You're not going to get around this. The three steps are this: stimulate, recover, and grow. Now, there are a lot of people out there stimulating. They're stimulus freaks. They're in the gym all the time. Mm-hmm. There are very few that are recovering from those workouts because they train too frequently, and consequently, they don't reach the growth stage. So we have two strategies to deal with that in the blueprint. The first is, you know, regulating your workout frequency. That's a fundamental. That's always going to be number one. And number two, we do get their intra-workout supplementation and nutrition down, and it results in the following: lightning, fast recovery. Why is that important? Because the more productive sessions that you can jam into any week, month, or year absolutely dictates how fast you will progress. And you need look, you know, no further than, let's say, the progress in your last 6 months of training. If you have not reliably grown stronger, if you have not put lean body mass on, then you're doing something wrong, and it's usually because you haven't recovered adequately from your workouts. So, you know, those are the strategies that we use. That's a little bit on the self-diagnostics. It can be tricky when you're trying to figure this stuff out yourself because you are emotionally invested in your results or lack thereof, and it's easy to make mistakes. So, you know, having a third party, whether that's me or somebody else or you, look at you and what you're doing from the outside, it's night and day, man. It's night and day.
Well, yeah. It really is. And you know what I'm looking forward to, because we've talked about this offline. Obviously, Iceland is a big shot for me. This will be it this time. And in case any of you aren't familiar with the Husafell stone, this stone is a volcanic stone that it's been there for hundreds of years. And it's in a place called Husafell, which is a small little town, more of a resort town in Iceland. And Snorri Bjornsson, who was the pastor there, believe it or not, the church is still there too. It's a one-room steeple. It's absolutely magnificent. When I went there the last time, it was just like I do when I come into the USA. I kiss the ground. It is the most breathtaking place you could ever see in your life. It's humbling. And when you drive up there initially, you know you're close there because you'll see the gold cross on top of the church. It's beaming at you. And you'll drive up, you know, everything's very dirt roaded, stone, shale, I mean, and you'll see the goat pen there. And Snorri Bjornsson built this. They did this all by hand. If you've seen the size of these stones, it would floor you. And whoever was there last is where the Husafell stone will be laying on the ground. Now, this is 418 pounds. And you have to walk around this goat pen, 50 meters it is. And we're not talking nice, smooth black top or concrete. We're talking up and down and shale and, you know, anything that could be, you know, it could cause anything if you took the wrong footing. And there will be like some of the stones on the bottom might stick out a little bit. So you got to be very careful. But Rob and I have talked about this, and we're going to do some stuff as far as supplementation, maybe a little bit different. Obviously, I'm going to be doing some stuff for training too, and then obviously what we're going to do when I get to Iceland. So, see, even a guy like me that's been doing it a long time still references people I feel that know a lot more about it than I do or have had experience with different things. I mean, I've got a lot of experience. I mean, I know supplements, what's good, what's bad. But Rob is, I believe he's a specialist with a lot of this stuff. And he goes out and really gets into this. So, you know, Rob, a guy like me, and I mean, we don't have to really get into this, but if I'm asking you, I mean, obviously we just talked about recovery and we know Synthogen and Tranquilogen are the keys. What do you think, like, with contest stuff? Do you approach with your athletes a lot different? You know me well enough now, and you've seen enough video of mine to know kind of what you're dealing with. So how much different is going to be a guy like me to say, even a guy that's been around for 20 years and has made some respectable lifts, what would you think?
In terms of supplementation? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't have to name anything out, but, I mean, would you – you know what I want to do with Iceland. So your approach with me would be, what do you think? Will we do a different tier? Like, say we're doing X, Y, and Z to get ready for Iceland. Then when I get to Iceland, whether it's a week or two before, are we going to change our program around? I mean, how would you approach me like something with that?
Yeah, you know, the answer is things would change, and a lot of things. I'll give you a good example. On your training, there's an old saying that fatigue masks performance. And consequently, what we do towards the end is we will taper the workouts in terms of volume, intensity, and frequency such that the planned overtraining that we have going on results in the body supercompensating and peaking, growing larger and stronger, to peak you on your meet day, on your contest day, whatever, physique day, whatever it may be. There are slight changes in diet. They aren't as profound. In terms of supplementation, this is a very, I'll call it egocentric sport, and that's by necessity, not by design. When you're coming down the chute, in the final weeks before a contest, whatever that is, it is like looking through a straw. And consequently, what you're doing with supplementation needs to shift a little bit more to taking advantage of nootropics. Things like phenylparacetam, PEA, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. You know, those things can be advantageous, and you'll see a slight change in my supplementation shift there. And that's something that a lot of guys miss, because what they do is they'll take a shotgun approach. And the companies are all too happy to, you know, to tell you, oh, yeah, the more you take, you know, the better. And it can work against you because, you know, you're taking more pre-workout stuff. That's just going to jack you up. I'm here to tell you it's going to work against you.
Yeah. Well, how many people have you seen, they'll do stuff like that, and they go to do the lift, and they fall flat on their face?
Right, right.
And you know, the thing is, obviously, you know, you haven't been over to Iceland, which I hope someday you'll give thought to. You know, if you go out and watch any of the video of, like, Bill Crawford or any of the guys that went over there with us in 08, I mean, this is a monster stone. And, you know, a lot of stones have handholds and things like that. There's really nothing to even get your hands around, and it's as smooth as talc. And it's usually wet, so that makes it even harder. And my whole thing in my head since we got back, because in 11, you know, I picked the thing up, but you couldn't even walk. The storm was so bad. And, you know, I've constantly heard, why would you go over in November? Well, if you remember back in 11, it was very warm here and rainy, and Iceland was getting the same thing, not so much the ice or the rain. So I was like, I'm ready to go. And then, of course, we hit a storm that, you know, I think about now. It's like we were lucky we got out of there alive, and it was only like 5 minutes. But if you've seen, you know, we're up in the mountains. You're 3,000 up, and when the white snow caps go black, that's some pretty serious stuff that's happening. And you know what? The guy I was with, Dennis, who was the guy that lost all the weight, was like, get in the car. I was like, no, I'll tell you how hard it was raining and sleeting, and you're getting hit with this stuff that felt like needles on you. That's how hard I was getting hit. When I bent over to lift the stone the second time, it felt like someone was pouring water down the back of my shirt. That's how much rain and everything was coming down on me. Now, I had a flannel shirt, but it was buttoned right to the top, and my neck's pretty big. And it felt like somebody had a hose down the back of my shirt. That's how much we dealt with. But what my plans are is this, to get over there, obviously, again, and I'd go 5 more times. That's how much I love that place. And I've even thought about maybe living there down the road. My whole thing is, this is what I'd say to you, Rob. I want to be so ready when I go up to that rock, I pop that thing up like it's 10 pounds, and I take off around that goat pen. Not once. I want to do 2 full laps with it. And that's what I'm here to tell you right now.
Yeah.
So you understand when we're talking about all these different modalities of training today, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to set whatever we're going to do supplement-wise up. You know, obviously the training is imperative. The recovery. You know, I'm at a point now, you know, everybody, I mean, granted, back in the day, and there's still pro hormone out, and there's this and that, but I'm here to tell you, and I agree with you totally, if you're not recovering, man, it doesn't matter what you're doing. And I've learned that now in the last, and I, you know, always know recovery, but, you know, the more stress you're putting on yourself, you know, and you're not doing the right things, you're not going to recover. So, you know, you got my thumb up on this for sure. Without a doubt.
Yeah, you know, and I'll drop this tip too, in the hopes that, again, it interests listeners and maybe my info, but a lot of guys are not taking advantage of that 2-hour window after their workouts, and typically I will counsel or suggest that they get up to 50% of their carbs and calories for the day during those 2 hours, and that makes a profound difference.
Without a doubt. You're right on the money. I mean, look, we're coming to the end of the show anyways, and I'm going to have you on as much. You're welcome here. You have a personal invitation here whenever you want to come on, boss. I love having you on, and I enjoy, we've had many conversations offline, and I want people with my company to really get to know Rob. And I do believe that, you know, Rob can help you out with just about anything you want to do. And obviously, you know, I will too. I guess what we'll do to wrap this up, why don't you tell everybody, you know, let's give you a big plug for your business. Anything you want to say right now, you're welcome to say, and then I'm going to talk a few things and we'll sign off.
Thanks, man. You know, sure. For those interested, you can go to CoachRobRegish.com, and all of my products and services are available there. One thing you can do and get for free is grab a copy of the Blueprint Bulletin. You know, you simply just go to the Blueprint Bulletin under Publications, and there's a free copy available there to give you a little, you know, give you the opportunity to test drive and see some of the information that comes out every month. And we do not do rehashed hash. You know, what you get every month is meaningful info that helps you make progress. The other thing that I'm really excited about is a Blueprint Army, as we like to call ourselves, membership program that I have. And that gives you access to an extraordinary, extraordinary amount of information, including what we call the vault, which includes over 100, which is to say 2 years, Blueprint Power Hours done on Superhuman Radio. Every Blueprint bulletin ever published, and it goes back years. You know, we have what's called the Blueprint Bulletin Vault, which is a searchable database, which is to say, you know, a written Q&A of every Blueprint Power Hour ever done, and access to me to clarify anything. There are also those four books that I mentioned. You'll have access to those. You'll have access to the 7 special reports that I've written, and those are everything from 2 fast fat loss reports to recovery, what I call chill pills, nootropics, something I call NeuroBolt, and non-hormonal and hormonal anabolics, progesterone and prohormones. You know, what are the best ones that are still available that work out on the market? I get a lot of questions about that. And finally, you're going to get the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course. This is the same course that Carl and Orr used to put three quarters of an inch permanently on his upper arm with one workout. And yes, you heard that correctly. And yes, you can go to Carl, who will validate that. And the last thing I'll mention is we do inner circle webinars for our members. I do. And it includes things like there's a special drink, and this stuff is available at your local supermarket that is far better than any weight gainer you will ever buy, and it reliably puts muscles and strips fat off the hardest of hard gainers, and it will blow your mind when you try it.
Yeah, it's like what we used to always say: you could put muscle on a rake.
Yeah, it's just amazing what it does.
Look, Rob, you're head and shoulders above most people. I've been around a lot of lifters, a lot of posers. You know, I can't say enough about you. I mean, it might sound over the top, but the one thing you're going to learn about me is I don't throw any crap with anybody. And it's like, if I think you're good, you're good. And we're going to promote this. Before I go, too, both of us have a mutual friend, Steve from Age Force, who's been very, very good to Fiorello Barbell. I'll leave it at that. You know, we've had a rough couple of years with the launch and et cetera, et cetera. And we're on our way now. But he's improved his weight loss patch. I believe, is that Houdia? Is that how they pronounce that, Rob?
Yeah.
As an appetite suppressant?
Houdia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I know you've had familiarity with it. You've used it with your clients, I believe you said one time. If I'm wrong, please correct me. And I've used it with my clients, and we've had phenomenal success. So now that that's added to it, I just wanted to get that out there and give Steve a plug, too, because, like I said, he's been very generous to me, and he's given me his time where he's really pushed me to keep going the way I'm going. Because as you and I both know, there's times that it's not always as glamorous as it sounds like when you're out there listening and all that. But thanks, Steve. And, you know, Age Force is on Fiorello Barbell. We're on our homepage. you can click that and go out to anything with AgeForce products. So, Steve, good luck with that. We're going to leave off on the show today. Obviously, we're going to have Rob on as much as he'd like to come on. So I want to give a few plugs for us. You can get a hold of us at Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com. My phone number is also on there. If you should call, I will get back to you within 24 hours. We have tons of content. Our blog posts are out there. Our podcasts are out there. That's at www.fiorellobarbellco.com. You can also contact me or give me anything you want. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. That's FIORILLOERIC. We're also all over the world now, so Rob and I are everywhere. We are on iTunes, and we are on Stitcher. So barring that, we haven't left anything out. Rob, you got anything else to say to the
friends here? Other than, you know, train smart, train hard, but don't throw too much money or time down holes like, you know, supplements, even mine, without addressing the fundamentals. That is just the truth. You're going to come, you know, you will come to know. We give it to it straight. We give it to you straight here. And you know, if that costs us supplement sales or whatnot, so be it. But in time, you'll know we're telling the truth. So
yeah, and that's the thing with the two of us. We are we plan on doing some things, and down the road, don't be surprised if you hear from the two of us together with some projects. I'm very excited about some of the people that are involved with this company. And we plan on growing big. So Rob and I, we'll leave you off with this. We're going to take the world. So we want to thank you for tuning into the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you next time.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.